now entering a new forum to discuss reality, not illusion. Welcome to UFO Encounters Live with your Watchman of the Night Skies, Ronnie McMullen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of UFO Encounters Live, and I'm your host, Ronnie McMullen. Again, it's been over 10 months since UFO Encounters Live has been really fully functioning, and a lot of people have asked me and emailed me why you went off air. I think it's fair for me to share why. Many, and there's not tons of shows out there, but there's a few UFO shows. And many of them are built on sensationalism. And I'm not trying to take cracks at other shows. I'm just trying to say, for me, this was a reality, a truth. When I interview abductees, it is the real thing. I ask questions that I feel that many don't ask. I do not believe this is just in our realm and just in our dimension. So with that, I asked questions accordingly. And as I interviewed many, many colonels and generals and scientists and abductees and so on, as I interviewed many of these people, it became heavy. It became deep. Some of these, especially when you're dealing with abductions, they are taken against their will. They're literally raped by another being or something from another dimension. Nothing can be done, and of course our government is not protecting us. They can't. And fortunately, as the string unravels, you find out that the government is mostly involved and is actually letting these creatures, these beings, abduct just as long as they get the tests. This becomes heart-held, hurting, major, and so I took a time off. But now I believe it's time to come back and go even deeper. And as I go deeper, I intend to share it with you. Tonight, my guest is Steve Pierce. This is a name you might not have heard. He's done a few interviews. You might take look back in 1975 and you find out an encounter that took place in Snowflake, Arizona. In fact, they made a movie about it in the early 90s and it was called Fire in the Sky. A very interesting movie, and of course the movie depicted the encounter with Travis Walton. Steve Pierce was one of the writers that worked with Travis Walton and Mike Rogers, and he was one of the men that saw this UFO in its entirety clear back in 1975. So tonight, after 30 plus years, I'm going to interview Steve and find out why did it take so long for him to come out and start talking about this issue that happened clear back in the 70s. Why now? What is the motive? And of course, I will take you to the truth. My guest is Steve Pierce. Steve, welcome to UFO Encounters Live. How you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's you kind of came at a surprise, and I'm excited to have you because probably not too many people know that you were in the truck with Travis Walton on the way to the event of a major UFO encounter. And I think people be very interested to hear your side and to hear, you know, what happened. And, you know, we see the movie Fire in the Sky, and it portrays you guys in the truck and Travis Walton having his encounter. But I have interviewed Travis, and he says it's a lot different than the movie. So I guess my first question to you, Steve, is the movie portraying what really happened on that evening, or is it very off?
Well, that we saw UFO and Travis got zapped, that's all true. But Mike Rogers going back by himself. That's not true. Let me tell a story, then.
Well, let's just start with it. So you'd been chopping down trees all day?
Yeah, we was loading up, getting ready to take off, and we had all our chainsaws and stuff put away, and it was getting evening, and so we took off, and they was seven of us. Three were in the front seat, and four was in the back.
Okay.
Travis Walton was on the shotgun side. Kenny Peterson was in the middle. Mike Rogers was driving. On the back side, behind Travis, on the shotgun side, was Alan Dallas, then me, then John Goulette, and then Dwayne Smith was on the far left behind Mike. And we're going down the road, and we see this bright object over to the right, and nobody can tell what it is, and someone said, looks like the moon, and no, there's the moon, we can see it on the left of us. It wasn't the moon, and thought it might have been an airplane wreck, and John Gillette said, no, that's no airplane wreck. And so we get a little bit closer, and Alan Dallas says, it looks like a spaceship. And we turn this corner, and Alan Dallas kind of like hits the ground and hits the floorboard, but then he gets back up, and he's looking out the window. But as he goes down, I scoot over, and I get all the way next to the door. I'm all the way to the door. And so this thing's just hovering in the air, and it's not moving. It's just, I mean, we saw it for a good 5 minutes, and it's just hovering there. And then Mike stops, and Travis gets out, and looks like to me and Alan Dallas, it looked like both of us that he was in some kind of a trance. They were pulling him out.
So, in other words, he didn't get out to have fun like the movie portrayed, yee-haw, let's make fun of this. He got out like he was being pulled.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And then he gets, he walks up to it, not straight on, but like in an angle.
Okay.
And he's up in front of it, and everybody's hauling him to come back, and he looks back once, but you know, he doesn't really look like, it's like he's got a blank look on his face.
So in other words, when he looked back at you, it was kind of a look like he wasn't all there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And were you guys scared?
Yeah, we were scared.
I mean, like, you know, explain that. You know, people don't understand. I mean, explain that. Were you scared? Like, you know, pee your pants scared? Like, this is crazy?
I don't think I was peeing my pants scared. I've never been that scared.
Okay.
I'm drunk, never scared.
Okay. So you were scared. And were the other guys, I mean, were there guys in there that maybe were in that pee your pants stage? I mean, was it really a very fearful event, or was it more curious event?
We were scared. We really didn't get scared yet. You know, I mean, we were nervous scared because we didn't know what it was, and we had no weapons with us. You know, we had guns with us. It probably would have been different. But until Travis stands back up and the thing's just hovering in the air, not moving, it starts rocking back and forth, and then it goes beep, 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 and this loud pitching noise, and then this greenish, bluish light came out and zaps him in the chest, and I seen him hit the ground and bounce, and you know, and you could feel the energy of the zap. You know, when he got zapped, you could feel the energy coming out of the UFO on your face.
And
as soon as he hits the ground, I say they got him. As soon as I said they got him, Mike took off, and we're running over everything, and we get down to the main road, and we finally get him to stop, and we all get out, and we see, as we're getting out, we see a white flash just go into the sky to the northeast, and we thought it was gone.
Okay.
And so we're all out there arguing, talking, trying to figure out what to do, and one of the guys says it looks like he was incinerated, and I said, no, he wasn't incinerated. I seen him hit the ground. I know he's there. You know, I thought he was dead, but I seen the way he hit the ground and everything. I thought he was dead. And so Kenny Peterson and John Gillette, you know, there's, you know, we have to go back and look for him. We just can't, you know, leave him, because some of us wanted to go to town and look for help and come back and get guns and stuff, you know. And so we all got back in that pickup and went back and looked for him. And we get there and we can't find him. He's gone.
Did you go to the same place that he was zapped?
Yeah. At first I wasn't sure it was at the right place, but I was looking for tire marks.
Yeah.
And I found the tire marks where Mike took off, because when Mike took off, he never missed a gear. I mean, he was gone.
Okay.
And so we found the tire marks, and we looked for him with one flashlight, and we couldn't find him. And Mike got really upset and fell to his knees, because he left his best friend behind him. He's really upset over that, you know. And then we was trying to figure out what to do. Should we go call the cops or go get family or do something, you know, come back and look for him? And Kenny Peterson, yeah, we have to call the cops, you know. Me and Alan Dallas, we didn't want to call the cops. And because we knew the cops were going to leave us, and police, besides the four in the back, were outlaws anyway. And so we come down the hill, and we come to a telephone substation. It's just a building, and it has two phone booths to it, on, you know, hanging on the wall. So
yeah.
Mike's still upset, so Kenny Peterson calls the sheriff's department and tells the sheriff's department that about a missing person. So after they hang up, we went farther into Heber to the gas station, maybe a block and a half, and then not even that far. The way on the main highway until the cops showed up, and then a city cop showed up, a deputy sheriff showed up, and then when Sheriff Gillespie got out there, he took control because he was the main, you know, he was the head sheriff. And we told him all what was going on, and he was looking for beer cans, thought he was partying and stuff. And he got each of us alone and was asking us questions and stuff. And then finally he told us, you know, Mike Rogers has to go back because he's the crew boss, and I want two other volunteers to go back.
Okay, so let's stop right there. I'm going to take a break, and we'll come back right after this. My guest is Steve Pierce. Don't go away. There's uncertainty in healthcare. Hi, I'm Ronnie McMullen. The root word to health has been forgotten. You should be paying attention to your health. Life is important. The people at Life Change Tea know this. Their customers experience change with every drink. If you have problems with weight, cholesterol, blood pressure, constipation, or liver problems, you need to call. Change your health now. 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. One more time. 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Read the numerous testimonies from their satisfied customers. Do not wait until it's too late. This world suffers from lack of proper nutrition in our food supply. Our water carries multiple chemicals and our air is polluted. Call now for help. 928-308-0408 or log on to getthetea.com. Hi folks, Ronnie McMullen here for structuredwatertechnologies.com. Some quick questions. Do you know what is in the water you are drinking? Do you care? Have you considered the quality of water for your plants and animals? Do you believe water is important to your life? If your water could be changed into healthy water inexpensively, would you consider changing? If so, log on to structuredwatertechnologies.com. That's structuredwatertechnologies.com. Once again, structuredwatertechnologies.com. Learn, investigate, and act. Watch the informational short videos on the website. Water is most important. Structured water is beneficial. And learn how structured water can benefit you. Log on to structuredwatertechnologies.com. Welcome back to the show. You are listening to UFO Encounters Live, and my guest is Steve Pierce. He was with Travis Walton clear back in 1975 when they had their encounter. Steve, you were, I kind of had to interrupt you because of the break, but you had gone down the hill and called the police officers and beginning to tell, you know, missing persons, and this sheriff got you guys and said, you guys got to go back to the scene. So, who volunteered to go back, and was it an easy volunteer, or was it like pulling teeth?
Well, you know, I wanted to go home, so I didn't volunteer.
Okay.
I thought they were going to get out there and find a body. I just knew they were going to find a body.
Okay.
Well, me and John Gillette and Dwayne Smith, we drove Mike's truck back to the house, and then they went out there, and they still couldn't find him. The next morning, they got this posse. They're going to go out there and look for him. I don't know, I think it was like 80 to 100 cops. And so they get all these people out there to look for him. And I got people at the doorstep talking to my mom and telling my mom what's going on. You know, they think we killed Travis and Travis's body's out there somewhere. And they were going to go out there and look for it and find a body. Well, I snuck out the back door. I didn't go out there with him because I just knew that Travis was out there dead somewhere. And how are you going to run from 100 cops? And then John Gillette told me later that when he was out there, when they were out there looking for him, they had a cop stay by each side. Each one of them had a cop by them.
So in other words, they were thinking it was a murder scene.
Oh, yeah. They thought we killed him for 5 days. They thought we killed Travis.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, Steve. Were you close to Travis?
We knew each other from town.
Right. But, I mean, were you close to him? Could you call him a friend?
Back then?
Yes.
No, we were just working companions.
Okay, so just workers.
Yeah.
Okay. So they comb with all this police posse, and then they don't find nothing, correct?
No, they didn't find nothing. And they looked, and as they're out there looking for Travis, I'm hiding in town because I just knew they were going to find a body. And I stayed at a girlfriend's house. Her mother even thought we killed Travis. The whole town thought we killed Travis. And a couple of days later, one of the city cops named Flake, he pulls me over, gets me in the back of the cop car and tells me that, you know, state of Arizona, we don't need a body to convict you for murder. And one other thing, you know, if you're with this person that commits the murder, you're just as guilty as the person who did the murder. And he says, and we know you didn't kill him. We just can't figure out why you're covering this up.
Okay.
They thought I was covering up for one of the guys that killed him, you know, and Flake was telling me, you know, you might as well just make it easier on yourself and confess and tell me what happened. We know you didn't do the killing. You know, just tell us what happened. We know it was one of the other guys.
And they probably said that to one of the other guys, the exact same thing, because, that way they can supposedly burst you and make you talk. Was there anybody in the crew, okay? Obviously, there's Travis and then Six. Is there anybody in the crew that did not like Travis, like had something against him?
Well, Alan Dallas, them two didn't get along with each other.
They didn't get along with Travis, or they didn't get along with each other?
Well, Travis and Alan Dallas, you know that part in the movie about the tree?
Yes.
That's true.
Okay, so that's all true.
Yeah, you know, I've seen it. We're out there working. It was pretty cool. I just got me a load of branches, and I was hauling them down the hill a little bit where I was stacking them. And I had to stack them in a certain kind of pile so the forest department would come up and burn them.
Okay.
Safety burn. you know. And if you wouldn't stack right, they wouldn't burn them. But anyway, I got a load of branches, and I'm stacking them, and I'm looking up, and here comes this tree, man. Almost gets Travis, and Alan Dallas has just got this smirky look on his face. Because the day before, they got into a fight, and I think Alan kind of lost it. But anyway, the tree went right by Travis. It was pretty awesome. And I thought there was going to be a fight, and Travis turns around, and I think Mike Rogers calls for a break, tells him to calm down, and we took a break, I think, after that. It was lunchtime.
Now, when was this before Travis being taken? Was it a day before, 2 days, a week?
The fight or?
The fight and the tree. When did that take place? Was it before?
All that week.
So it was all the same week?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Steve Pierce after these messages. Welcome to the other side. You are listening to UFO Encounters Live. I'm your host, Ronnie McMullen. Of course, my guest is Steve Pierce, Fire in the Sky. You might have remembered the movie. And, of course, Steve was one of the crew members that was with Mike Rogers and, obviously, Travis Walton. Steve, you know, this whole tree thing in the movie and, like, these guys not getting along, don't you find that kind of weird in the sense that here Travis is, like, being called You basically shared with us on one of the segments that it wasn't like the movie where Travis just got out and yeehaw, I'm having fun and making fun of this ship. But it was more the fact that literally pulled out, like something inside him or some kind of energy pulling him out, making him walk, and almost like he wasn't there. You said he turned around, had a funky look on his face, and you guys were screaming, get back in the truck, get back in the truck. Isn't that interesting? It's the same week or maybe within the same couple of days as his life is almost threatened in a funny kind of way. Is that coincidental to you?
I don't think his life is really threatened.
Well, to me, if you have a tree that flies down real close to you and you got two guys smirking, I'm thinking, you know, maybe they didn't want to kill him, but they surely didn't yell and say, hey, watch out for the tree. Right?
Well, no one actually saw that, you know, none of us could really yell at him because when you have all them chainsaws going, you really can't hear, people yelling.
Well, I agree, but on the same token, I have to say, if I had cut a tree and it started to fall towards a guy, I don't care if you couldn't, you know, if I was deaf or couldn't sound or whatever, I would still try to make some kind of noise to save that guy's life. I mean, obviously, it worked out that he didn't die, and, you know, thank God for that. But my point is here these guys are, you know, ha-ha, and, you know, let's brush with death. And within the same week, Travis is pulled out. I guess what I'm saying here, and, you know, and again, you know, I'm not trying to be Mr. Conspiracy, but if there was a greater power, what interesting person to take is the one that almost was killed by the tree. In other words, what if there was a higher power that knew some of this, and then it would make it look so great?
That could have been an accident too about that tree. Alan Dallas said it was an accident, so
it was an accident. But why would they have a smirk on their face?
That's Hollywood.
It's a good question. Okay. So let's go back. So when they started questioning you, you know, and this, how many days go by before you guys find Travis?
5 days went by.
5 days. And were you glad they found Travis, or were you surprised, or what was your emotion when you heard Travis was found?
Well, we took the polygraph test the day before, and we all passed except for Alan Dallas. He got mad and ripped the stuff off. I was glad that he came back for my mom's sake.
Okay.
Because my mom was starting to wonder if we killed him or not. Because my mom's the one who had to take me to the county jail to take the polygraph test because I was a minor.
Okay. Okay. So, for your mom's sake, you finally believe that you didn't kill this guy or anybody else in there. So, that was good that way. But you weren't really moved that he was found, or did you have any question of what happened? Do you think maybe he was pulling a trick?
I was glad that he came back, that he was alive.
Yeah. Do you feel like he pulled a trick on you guys, being gone for 5 days? Is that what your thoughts were, or did you think something really happened here?
You know, I thought about that for a long time, but no. We saw him about 3 weeks after this happened, and if you would have seen his eyes, you know, you'd have known this is really true. I believe something really happened.
Yeah.
And I can't really tell you what, you know, I can only tell you what Travis has told me. And some of the stuff in the movie really didn't happen.
Right.
You know? But I believe he was taken.
Okay.
I've seen the first part. Why didn't I believe the second part?
Right. Now, how long did you know Travis, you know, when you were working with him? I mean, did you know him most of your life, or a year, or a couple months, a couple weeks?
I knew who he was for maybe 6 months.
6 months?
I went to work there.
Okay, so 6 months. And did he seem, after the event, did Travis seem like the same guy as you knew for that 6 months?
Yeah, well, kind of. He was different for a little while after that.
Okay. I mean, how do you explain different?
Well, his head got a little bit bigger.
You think his head got bigger?
I'm kidding.
Okay.
He's about the same kind of person.
Okay. So you don't think any change at all in him?
Well, you got to remember, I've only seen Travis 3 times after this happened. I never hung out with Travis because I was 17 and they were in their 20s. You know, my mom was going to let me hang out at the bar with the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, well, I don't think Travis hung out at bars. I know John Gillette and all the other ones did. And I don't think Travis did or Mike did. Mike had a family, so he really couldn't do. And Kenny Peterson, he was a church-going guy, so I know he didn't.
Right.
You know.
Were you close with any of the guys in the crew, or was it just working conditions?
When I hired on to Mike, I had an uncle and a cousin that worked there, too.
Uh-huh.
And they had just quit, like, 2 weeks before that. And we were behind on the contract, and we lost 3 good people. And that's when John Gillette came back up from the Valley, and he had Dwayne Smith with him. And Dwayne Smith wasn't really, never done this kind of work before. And so we had a new crew the day Travis got zapped.
Okay, so it was kind of a funky day.
Well, my uncle and cousin knew all these people better than I did. I knew them through them.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. When you went through all of this, I mean, what has it done to you? You know, you've seen the movie. You know he got taken. You saw the ship first sight. I mean, you saw it. What does that make you feel about UFOs today?
I believe in UFOs.
Well, obviously.
I get a lot of questions that, you know, it's demonic. I don't believe one has to do with the other.
Okay. Okay. So you don't believe it's demonic, but do you fear it a little bit, or have you had any other sightings, anything since that day?
Yeah, I've had a couple sightings, and as far as fear it, you know, everybody gets scared.
Sure.
How you handle your fear.
But do you get scared knowing that that's real, knowing that they were that close to you at one time, they could be again? And obviously, Travis, you're saying he's pulled out by some kind of energy. Does that ever make you nervy that they could do that to you?
Yeah, it makes me nervous.
Okay.
You know, I've had some things happen to me.
Okay. Let me ask you another question. Did you ever get the sense when you were in that truck, by the truck, whatever, and looking at that UFO, did you ever one thought cross your mind that it could be some kind of military event?
That never crossed my mind.
Okay.
It was a spaceship to me, and it wasn't from this world, and I'll stick with that until the day I die.
Okay. Did you ever see, when you guys were cutting the trees, and I don't know how long you were out there, but when you were doing your tree work, did you ever see any military vehicles going around? Any kind of trucks, any kind of anything that you could classify as a military vehicle?
No, I've never seen no military vehicles up there.
Any military bases, any kind of connection that way in that area?
On the ridge, I don't think there's any kind of military base up there.
Nothing, no rumors of military, no nothing.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
You know, I haven't been there in 37 years, but, well, I went there a couple times, see Travis a couple years ago, but, no, not that I know of. I don't.
So my question to you is, you were quiet for quite some time. Why all of a sudden are you speaking out and saying this is real, this is going on?
Mainly because of my daughter. She thinks that I should get out and talk about it, and that's how I started. And another reason is, you know, I've read so many articles, and the articles they said I did back in those days, and I didn't do none of these articles. I did one where National Star got me trapped in a hospital when my son was born the following year, and I had to do this interview with him, and the following month it came out that made us look like liars. So I didn't do interviews. You know, I didn't do no interview for 35 years. because, you know, people thought we were lying.
So why now?
Because if I don't come out and tell my side of the story, somebody else is going to tell it, you know, so...
Are you connected with Mike Rogers at all, or any of the other guys? Have you, Alan, Dallas, any of these guys?
I haven't talked to Mike Rogers in 35 years.
Okay. How about any of the other guys?
I talked to John. I see John. I've seen John three times in the last year and a half, and we talk on the phone.
And does he talk about this? Does he go outward and talk about it?
Sometimes and sometimes not. Depends whatever kind of mood he's in.
Okay. So is it something that, you know, you want to bury, or is it something that you want answers for?
You want to?
Is it something, is it a subject that you're wanting to bury, or is it a subject that you're wanting answers? I mean, you were a part of something very big. You were part of something that doesn't happen every day. And obviously a lot of emotion, and for all you know, you could have been traumatized. So,
I was probably traumatized.
Well, a lot of times, you know, a lot of times we laugh about something that we really don't want to laugh about. Because it is traumatizing. I mean, something happened to you. Even though Travis was the one that was picked, something happened. You were a part of watching that.
Yeah, and we were down here on Earth dealing with the cops for 5 days for murder. That right there, going to that courthouse and taking that polygraph test, I was more scared that day than the day Travis got zapped by the UFO.
Because what, you were afraid you were going to fail? You couldn't have failed because you didn't do anything.
Well, they were saying all week long they were going to make it look like we failed it, you know. And, you know, Alan Dallas' mom saying, you know, they're going to make y'all look like y'all are guilty when you take this polygraph test. And I think that's why Alan Dallas ripped off the polygraph stuff off his body, because he didn't want to take it anymore. Because we thought this was going to be set up, that we were going to be guilty. We didn't think we were ever going to get out of there alive. I mean, you know, I thought we was going to jail.
Just because you were there.
They thought we killed Travis.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what, you know, I mean, it, obviously laws change and the way things are changed, but why do you think these guys came in? I mean, did it ever make you, have you thought about this, you know, in the years, obviously 30 plus years has gone by, have you thought about why they were telling you that you guys did it when in fact they had no proof and you knew in your heart you didn't? And you knew in your heart that nobody else in that truck did it. So how could, do you understand where I'm going here? In other words, they seem to be pushing that we're going to hang you guys for this issue, yet you guys knew you didn't do it. Don't you think it's interesting they were pushing to get a conviction so fast?
Well, think about it. I mean, we came out of the woods. we told the cops we saw someone get zapped by a UFO. And we live in a cowboy town, you know. So I could see them why they thought they didn't believe us.
Yeah, I can understand.
My mom still don't believe us. My brother still don't believe us.
You're kidding.
No, my mom thinks this is from the devil.
Okay, so she's a religious person.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is from the devil, even though there's this proof that shows that something did happen.
Yeah.
Interesting. We're going to take a break.
A lot of people think this is demonic.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that on the other side. We'll be right back.
If you would like to make contact with the host, email Ronnie at ufoshow@msn.com. And make contact.
Hi folks, Ronnie McMullen here for Life Change Tea. Let's face it, the cat is out of the bag. The economy sucks and finances are tough. Many of the elderly are on a fixed income and strive to make it. So, for all of you seniors who buy Life Change Tea and its products, you now can enjoy free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Call now if you're over 60 for free shipping. Here's the number, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. One more time, 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is not your normal tea. It's a pathway to better health. Log on to our website and read the testimonies. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. So now you seniors can enjoy your tea with free shipping. Just call us at 928-308-0408. Take part in a life-changing experience.
Good evening.
You're with the Illuminati.
People should not be afraid of their government. Government should be afraid of their people.
A terrorist threat.
Fear became the ultimate tool of this government.
Falling economy.
Illuminati.
The people of the light.
And potentially devastating climate change.
All that you know is about to change.
What the cynics fail to understand is that the ground has shifted beneath them.
The next quake should be right there.
San Francisco.
You ready for this? The news is completely manipulated. Everything you hear every single day is designed by corporate media to do one thing and one thing only. To keep you living in fear.
I'm authorizing the evacuation of the entire West Coast.
We intend to move forward.
There has been a massive mobilization of troops along the West Coast, causing great concern across the country.
It's something major, but many are speculating that the deployment of troops has
something to do with it. National Guard has been mobilized in some of the more heavier hit areas.
We are the keepers of this legacy.
Welcome back to the last segment of UFO Encounters Live, and my guest is Steve Pierce. And Steve, I want to talk about Philip Klass. I heard he was quite a pain in the rear to all of you. Did you have any dealings with him?
Well, after this happened, the following February, I got married, and I moved to Taylor, and that was the town next to Snowflake. And one day we were sitting at the house, and we lived on a dirt road, so you could hear the cars coming down the road. And
yeah.
My ex-wife, you know, cops coming down the road, Jim Click's coming. And, you know, every cop back then, where we lived up there in Snowflake and Taylor, every cop drove a different kind of a cop car, so you always knew who was in the cop car.
Oh, okay.
They all had their own, you know. But anyway, he pulls up, and she goes, well, are you in trouble again? She thought I was in trouble because the cops are at the door. So... he comes to the door and he tells me, he goes, Philip Klass said he'd give you $10,000 if you say it was a hoax. And so that's when I first heard about it. And then I just blew him off, just blew that cop off that day. And I moved to Texas, and then he started calling my house in Texas, telling me to give me $10,000 to say it was a hoax and all this. And then... he bothered me for like 3 or 4 years after this happened.
You should have maybe just said, you know, I have no problem saying it was a hoax for $10,000 as long as I can tell them that you gave me $10,000 to say that.
Well, I told him, okay, this is a hoax. Philip Klass is the only person I ever said it was a hoax to. Because, I had to say it was a hoax to get the $10,000.
Uh-huh.
Well, he flew to Texas and met me at a restaurant, and we sat there and talked for a while, and then he left, and then when I went home that night, well, it was a couple nights later, I told my ex-wife what I did, and she goes, you know, I'm not going to spend this money if you take this money. She says, do you really believe this is true? And I says, of course I believe it's true. I was there. She says, well, it's because you're mad at Mike and Travis, you know. Because I was mad at Mike because Mike hadn't paid me. He still owed me money. He still owes me money today. And we had a little sad job after this, and something happened to that, too. And so I wasn't too happy with Mike. And so I was going ahead and, you know, because nobody believed this anyway. My whole family thought this was all nothing but a hoax back then.
Yeah.
You know? so they didn't blame me anyway. So, I decided, you know, with the ex-wife, she was saying, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. Just because you're going to, you know. So I stopped talking to Philip Glass. He kept calling me. I wouldn't talk to him. Then I moved to Utah. I was working for this outfit, and he called up there. And I'm not sure this was him or not, but he called my job and said I wanted to talk to Steve about an incident that happened in Arizona, so I figured it was him. I never talked to him. Then I moved back down to Arizona into the valley, the Mesa, Phoenix, and he was calling me down there. Me and my wife got divorced, so I moved in with my brother and his wife, and he started calling my sister-in-law and telling my sister-in-law, you know, tell Steve that I gave him this money. He says, is it a hoax, you know? So he bothered me for a good 3, maybe 4 years after this happened.
And you took the money, and he wanted you to make more statements about this?
No, I didn't take the money.
Oh, you didn't take the money. So he bothered you for 3 or 4 years to take the money?
Yeah.
Huh.
I wouldn't take it.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I started to. You know, I thought about taking the money.
Sure.
You know, but this really happened, you know, and my ex-wife made a lot of sense. She said, you know, my day will come. You know, you don't mean, you know, this is true.
Yeah.
So I didn't take the money. I thought about it because nobody believes us anyway.
Right.
Back in the 70s, $10,000 is a lot of money, man.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, we're out of time. It was good to hear from you, and maybe we'll have you back again sometime and go even deeper. So thank you so much, Steve, for being on the show.
Hey, thank you. My email is steve.pierce@hotmail.com.
All right. Thanks very much.
I want to thank my guest, Steve Pierce, for being on the show. And, of course, it's always interesting to get new perspectives. And, of course, Steve in the truck seeing what really happened and telling us, you know, this was the movie, this was not the movie. I also think it's interesting in the interview about Philip Glass and how he offered Steve $10,000 for years to say it was a hoax. Now, it seems to me, I don't know. If somebody is hounding somebody, following him, literally, knowing exactly where he's going to work, and offering him $10,000 just to say it's a hoax, first of all, is that coming out of Mr. Class's personal account? Is that coming out of government account? Is there something trying to silence the truth? Has there always been something to silence the truth? And that's what UFO Encounters Live is all about. Because something is going on. Something is trying to silence these people that have seen or been a part of something from another world. Now, before I go, I also want to let you know the next few weeks are going to be quite intense as I have abductees coming on the show sharing what has gone on in their life. Next week, Stan Romanek, his book is called Messages. He's about ready to put a movie out. He has a documentary coming out. And you're definitely not going to want to miss this interview. Stan and I have gone back 6+ years, and I remember sitting at a table in Denver with this man. And when you look into his eyes, there's no misguiding. There's no nothing. This man has been through something more than once. And it's actually, for me, even sitting at the table, I could feel the energy. And, you know, maybe not the same in his case, but I felt it. So I wanted to interview this man, and boy, the more I interview him, and you can't do enough interviews with Stan because he has things happening all the time. So if he came on every month, you'd still just have that much more. So I want to let you know that Stan Romanek will be on next week. So you're going to want to join me and tell all your friends. UFO Encounters Live is back. The website, UFOEncountersLive.com. Don't miss it. We are on KCAA in San Bernardino, Riverside. And picking up stations all the time. So again, UFO Encounters Live is back. And make sure
you don't miss one, not one show. I've got some great guests that are coming, and I think you're very much going to enjoy as we proceed with the truth. So, you know the drill. Beware your surroundings.
You've been listening to Ronnie McMullen, your watchman of the night skies on UFO Encounters Live. If you'd like to visit us during the week, log on to www.ufoencounterslive.com and make contact.